Hallelujah. Praise God. It's always good to worship with people who are worshipers, not just singers and musicians. Amen. You know, in doing praise and worship over the years, it's a whole lot easier to take people where you've already been. Some of you will get that later, but hallelujah. So, you know, sometimes young preachers will ask, you know, about, well, how do you, that's, well, how long did you spend preparing these sermons? 42 years. That's how long I've been a Christian. This past June 30th was my 42nd birthday. I like that number better than I do the other one, but that's all right. I'm not ashamed of the other one either, but praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That young fellow that was doing announcements up here, some of you may not know, that's Greg Finley. He's assistant to the pastoral staff, Reverend Greg Finley. And Denise, she got a hold of me aside. She goes, oh, by the way, you're the only one here tonight. And so, but she said, Greg's here. Let him do announcements. I said, well, great. Praise the Lord. I see the pickets back there. Hi. Praise the Lord. Last time I saw you were eating Chick-fil-A sandwiches. I saw that on Facebook. Just got back in the country. Grady and Becky, one of the kids is there, here from Iraq. Glory to God. Amen. Good to see them. Praise God. If you got your Bible, open it up to Colossians chapter 1. I want to talk to you tonight about the mystery of Christ in us. The mystery of Christ in us. And you know, I think for a large part of what we would call the body of Christ, this is something that has escaped us. Now around here, we've been taught in him realities and different things of that sort. We need to know who we are in him, but do you know who he is in you? That's another aspect of that. Christ in us. Christ in us. And I think a lot of times, without recognizing, Christ is in us. And when we talk about Christ in us, you know, the Bible talks about God the Father being in us, the Holy Spirit. They are in us by the Spirit of God. Okay? Where is God? He's seated at the throne. If he has a physical form, that's where he is. Where's Jesus? At his right hand. But the Holy Spirit is in us. But if you got the Holy Spirit, you've got the Father, and you've got the Son in you, you've got God in you, right? But if we don't recognize and then partake of Christ being in us, then it's easy to stay bound in a sin mentality, a sin consciousness, rather than a righteousness consciousness, rather than a position of authority. When I know God's in me, and I have on the armor of God, see, all this stuff goes together. When I know God's in me, though, I'm in a position of victory already. That's why Brother Hagin wrote the book Triumphant Church. Instead of trying to win the victory, we've already triumphed through Christ. And the victor's on the inside of us. But Jesus makes some statement. We'll look at it here in a little bit. But I wanted to start here in Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to read, first of all, from the King James Bible. We'll read 25, 26, and 27. Colossians 1, verse 25, 26, and 27. Then I want to read it from a couple other translations. It says, whereof I am, Paul speaking here, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery, which has been hid from the ages, and from generations, but is now is manifest to his saints. Now look at this. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, hope, Bible hope, confident expectation of glory. Christ in us. He said there, that was a mystery. You know, there's certain mysteries. Paul told the Corinthians that had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If the devil knew that God was going to come live inside man once again, he'd have left Jesus alone, I think. Although he's wise as a serpent sometimes, but he's dumb because he thinks he can beat God. Amen. Well, I wouldn't call the devil dumb. I'm not speaking ill of him. I'm just commenting. He's got a track record of dumb. When you think you're going to replace God, I'm going to be the, like the Most High God. I'm going to set my throne above the stars of God. And as he was saying I, he fell to the earth. I think that's the big bang people are looking for. When the devil hit there, boom, big bang. Listen to the Passion Translation. Verse 26, I want to start there. There is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations, but now it's being revealed, unfolded, and manifested for every holy believer to experience. To experience. To experience. You know, I found this out. Doctrine that cannot be lived is false doctrine. It's really useless. I mean, why teach something that people can't put in their life? You understand what I'm saying with that? All right, read verse 27. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. The mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of the glory for his people. And God wants everyone to know it. Glory to God. The Message Bible, verse 26. This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out. I'm going to challenge you. Do you know it inside and out? That's what we're talking about tonight. We're stirring up our pure minds and remember, stirring it up. And for some folks, you might be the first time you're hearing about this. For others, you've heard about this before. But I found this out. I've got to continually go over these truths. And as I continually go over them in my life, I experience them to a greater level than just, oh, I remember that in the past. How many of you in here like a good steak? How many of you have had a good steak? Let me just break it out. How many of you have had a good meal in the past? Does that mean you're never going to eat another good meal? No, you continually want to eat good meals, right? Well, this is the same thing with the Word of God. Just because you knew it in the past, continually feed on it. And I'm finding this out after 42 years. It tastes better today than it did then. God's Word just keeps getting gooder and gooder. I know that's not good English. Amen. Listen to this. He said experiencing it. I'm in the Message here still. Backing up. Let me verse 27. Let me read the whole thing. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out. Regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing, the mystery in a nutshell is just this. Christ is in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. This is the substance of our message. And then finally, the New Living Translation, starting in verse 26. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Christ is in us. Amen. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, the book of beginnings here. Genesis chapter 2. Let's look how God created man and how that man came into existence when God put himself inside that man. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Of the dust. Made from, you know, the Bible talks about from dust you came, from dust you shall return. This body comes from this earth. It's of this earth. And this body in its present form cannot exist outside from this earth. All right? That's why we have to have a resurrected body to go on through eternity. But this body is of this earth and will stay on this earth. So God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Everybody say the breath of life. So from inside, it would have been impossible for God to have breathed into man the breath of death, because God is life. So from God, God put himself inside that earthen body made from the dust of the earth. He put himself inside of that. And man became, the Bible says, a living soul. So that ought to help us too to understand that life is, real life comes from God. The Bible says he's the father of all spirits. The Bible says everyone has their breath from God. But he told man on that day, in later on in this chapter, that something that he put him in the garden to keep it. Look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden to dress it, to keep it. In other words, God gave him a job, gave him something to do. All right. I tell these young ladies that come to Bible school, and I'll tell any of you ladies out there that are looking for a husband, notice before God brought Adam a wife, he had him a job first. That's good preaching, Brother Tad. Keep going. All right. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of the every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Now notice this. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, we know in the next chapter that they did eat. The Bible said the serpent deceived Eve, but Adam knew exactly what he was doing. He went, and by the way, guys, he wasn't off riding elephants somewhere. He was standing right there next to her. Okay? But he ate, and when he did that, they died. But they didn't cease to exist. They were still living on the earth. But that God residing in them that they had of his breath, all right, that was severed. The life of God, in other words, that was in them was severed. But thank God, God had a plan. How many of you know God's the greatest planner that there ever has been? He had a plan. Go to John's Gospel, chapter 1. Now, these aren't necessarily new things we're talking about tonight, but they're things that we need to live in the consciousness of it. Somebody said this, I don't remember which minister I heard say it, that we need to be God inside minded. We need to remind ourselves, you know, if not every day, every couple days, that God's in me. Christ is in me. He's living in me. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All right, listen to this. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. In him, the Word, in who is we know here, this same Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who's it calling the Word here? Jesus. God the Son. Nothing was made without him. All right? And in him is life. And in fact, without Jesus, there is no life. He is the life. Okay? And God's plan was to send his Son. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. All right? But now look what Jesus said in John chapter 4. Now, I know sometimes we think, well, Jesus came so we could go to heaven. That's a great benefit. But Jesus came to restore to us the life of God. Now you hear people talk about, and it's a great, because we don't understand what people are trying to say, or terminology, I think. People get upset when we talk about spiritual death, but I don't think they really understand. We're just saying separated from God. That's all spiritual death biblically is. Death in the Bible, I don't know of any case where it means cease to exist. This is talking about, you know, different, not with mankind. Death is a separation. The Bible said we have died unto sin. We're separated from sin. Okay? When he said you'll surely die, they didn't quit being alive physically, but they were separated from God. Okay? So spiritual death here, Jesus came to remedy that situation. Look what he said in John 4. Now he's at this well in Samaria, and he's asked this woman to give him something to drink. All right, look at verse number 10, John chapter, Gospel of John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that said to you, give me to drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Living water. The woman said, sir, you have nothing to draw with and this well is deep. From whence then have you this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. How many have had a drink of water today? Did that mean you're not going to be thirsty later? No, you've got to continually quench that thirst, right? In the natural. But notice what he says, verse 14. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him. In him. In her, in who? In you. This water is in you because he's in us. And in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now listen to this from the Passion Translation. But if anyone drinks the living water I give them, they will never thirst again and will be forever satisfied. For when you drink the water that I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, springing up and flooding you with endless life. Whoo, flood stage. Endless. Endless. So part of being God inside-minded is being Holy Spirit inside-minded, but it's also being the life of God on the inside of us minded. The life of God. You know, in here in the last few years, in studying this and talking to some others and talking to some of my ministry friends that are having just incredible instantaneous healings take place, people getting healed, just talking about this stuff, talking about the life of God, people sitting, blind eyes opening in the middle of services, deaf ear, just all kinds of things taking place. Some of you know we just spent 2 weeks over in Kenya, and Amethyst is sitting right there. Amethyst, wave at everybody. She laid her hands on a lady that's blind, and that lady's not blind anymore. Amen. A Bible school student with the life of God on the inside of her. Here's a woman that is a Christian, has that same life in her, but she doesn't know how to drink. So we just talked to them about it. We had, was it six or seven at Victor's church that came up that had back pain? Six. Came up that had back pain. And we never laid hands on one of them. I was preaching. I didn't lay hands on any of them. Just told them, the life of God's in you right now. You're Christians. Yeah, everyone is Christian. The life of God's in you right now. In fact, do what you couldn't do before. All six of them were instantly healed. This life is in you. This life is in you. It's a well of water springing up at flood stage of the Holy Ghost. Now think about it though. We have spent a lot of our time in Christendom, not necessarily here at Raymond, but you understand, waiting for something to be poured out from heaven. Waiting for something to come from the outside or someone, and God works through people with special anointings and things like that, but waiting as Christians for something to be done from out here when all along Christ is in us, the life is in us, the healing power of God is already in us. Let me ask you this. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost, right, and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. What Holy Ghost do you think you've got in you? The same one that anointed Jesus to heal people. So that healing anointing is in us. Amen. Hallelujah. We had another man who, as they were doing street ministry, one of our team members started talking to this fella. And he asked, well, you know, is there anything I can pray for? He said, yeah. He said, I can't, I can't read well. My eyes, I can see you, but I can't read well. So he laid his hands on him. And the man, he said, and the only thing, he had his Bible with him, not that guy, but he said, he just handed him his Bible. He said, can you read that now? He goes, I can read it perfectly. I can see it perfectly. I can see it perfectly. This young man had been a Christian growing up, but he had converted to Islam. And he was known as the only Muslim in his entire town there. Only one. But he renounced Islam. Started telling everybody. He was at church on Sunday morning. He was at came to services. Had his family there on Sunday morning. Joined the church. I mean, God will heal a Muslim. Why? Because that's what Jesus came, is to give that life. That life. Hallelujah. Now listen, the Message Bible says, anyone who drinks the water I give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give, I love this, will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life. Hallelujah. That's what Brother Hagin talked about when there was a great plague of flu that hit the United States at one time. He was having meetings where thousands, and then they got down to about six, less than 10 people showed up to the meeting. Everybody had the flu. They said, well, Brother Hagin, aren't you? He said, no, I'll have you know, I'll never have the flu. Why? He lived in the reality of the life of God on the inside of him. Amen. One of the ministers, you know, as he talked about, said, oh, don't you know the devil will hear that? Brother Hagin said, that's the dude I want to hear it. John chapter 10. Christ in us. Christ in us. Christ in us. Every situation in life, the answer is Christ is in you. Christ in me. How do we drink of that? How do we partake of that? Well, we act on the Word of God. Every time you act on God's Word, all right, act on it. Just put it into practice. You're applying that, what is in you, you're applying it. I think one of the greatest things that God has given us in this area is the ability to pray in tongues, to stir up things, stir it up on the inside. But you know, sometimes people go and they have a spring of water, they cap it. I want to suggest to you to uncap the spring. Let it flow. One of the greatest ways to let it flow, not in your life, is let it flow out to others. Because not only is this a well of water springing up in everlasting life, the Holy Spirit also comes upon us and we become a river of living water. That river affects everybody else. All right, did you find John 10? I know Craig Hagin did not write this verse, even though he quotes it all the time. But it is so important. John 10:10. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So what do we know? What if we can just stop there? And as Craig points out so well, and we need to pay attention to what he's trying to say to us by the Holy Spirit leading him, that we need to know what the enemy does. And he kills, he steals, and he destroys. That's what he does. Anything that has to do with that was not of God. Amen. Well, now in the Old Testament, God told him to wipe out. He also gave him 500 years to repent. Right? There are people say, how can a loving God send people to hell? God never sent anybody to hell. You can choose to go, but I don't recommend it. But that's not the question. How can people and beings rebel against a loving God? That's the question to ask yourself. What caused the devil to rebel against God? Well, the Bible tells us it was pride. What caused Adam and Eve? What caused them to reject God and to choose to go this other way? What caused people when Jesus walked the earth to reject him? And the Bible talks about at the end of time that after Satan's let loose for just a little, people who live under the rule of Christ on the earth are going to side with the devil and rebel against God again. The question is not why God, a loving God, sends people. It's why do people rebel against a loving God? And the answer, simple answer, is pride. We want to be our own God. But I'm telling you, folks, it's so much sweeter to drink from this well. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Someone said it's superior in quality and superabundant in quantity, this life of God. So look over to John chapter 14 now. Jesus came. What is this mystery? What does it mean to have Christ in us? Here in John 14, verse 15, we read, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. In you. That's why we say that this well of water is the Holy, indwelling Holy Spirit. He's in us. He's God the Holy Spirit. Well, if God is life, so is God the Holy Spirit. If the Father is life, so is the Spirit of God. All right? He goes on to say, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you see me because I live, you shall live also. And that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Jesus is starting to reveal the mystery. Yet they didn't get it then. Hallelujah. But once you're born again, the veil's taken away, and we can see these things. He's talking about God being in us. Let's finish up in John chapter 17. Some have called this the high priestly prayer of Jesus. It's John's last recording, you know, of some of the things that Jesus said. John wrote his gospel many years after the other gospels had been written. Perhaps he'd had the opportunity to read them. He includes many things in his that are not written in the others, I think, just because he wanted to tell some things Jesus hadn't, that weren't written. But he also said if everything Jesus said and did was written, he didn't think that all the books of the world could hold all that he said or did. Amen? John 17 here. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation, verse 20. Jesus is speaking here. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. So one way or another, all of us believe in Jesus because of the words of these eyewitnesses. One way or another. Now, I never met John, never met Pete, but we have their words, right? And he said, I don't pray for just these alone, but for everyone who will believe in me through their message. So what he's about to say, he's praying for you. Tell your neighbor he's praying for you. Now, I think Jesus gets his prayers answered. If he doesn't, we're in trouble. But he does. Look what he prayed. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. Now notice this. I am in them, and you are in me. Jesus made a statement in John chapter 10. He said, the Father is greater than all. My Father is greater than all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says at the end, when the last enemy has been put under Jesus' feet, death. He said, now it should be known that everything, that God the Father put everything under the feet of Jesus, but he didn't put himself under the feet of Jesus. I'm paraphrasing it. But when that last enemy is put under the feet of Jesus, and the Bible paints a picture of all of us standing before the throne of God, that Jesus is going to lay down his authority to the Father, that the Father may be all in all. Now, in praying about that, the Lord, what But this is the picture. Now, it may not unfold this way, but if it does, you find me in the great sea of glass of all of us up there. And see, Tad was right. But up until this point, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. We're joint heirs with him, but we're standing before the throne. Jesus is going to come join us. And we all bow before the Father, who is all in all. But Jesus said, I am in them. Christ in us, the hope of glory. But he said, and you are in me. So he who has the Son has the Father. He who has the Spirit has the Son. And he who has the Son has the Father. Why are we trying to pray God down when he's on the inside of us right now? He's in there. God, the creator of heaven and earth, is in you, child of God. That's why we can stand before the devil and all of his works, fearless in right standing with God. As E.W. Kenyon said, without the sense of guilt or inferiority, as if sin never existed in our lives, because we are the righteousness of God in Christ, standing there fully dressed in the armor of God, with God on the inside of us, wearing his clothes on the outside of us, spiritually speaking, with his very sword in our hand and his shield covering us. Glory to God. Christ in us. Christ in us. Hallelujah. Do I need the Holy Spirit in me? Do I need Christ in me? Do I need God in me? Absolutely. You need that to go to Walmart. I definitely know you need the Holy Spirit to drive on these roads. With all these blinkerless using drivers. Don't look around. Just smile. Christ in us. He's in you. I like to do this. We'll end with it. Hold up your hands. Just look at your hands. Your hands. Not about just your hands. God's in you. God's in these hands. No wonder Jesus said, believers in my name will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. In these hands is God. And I'm being his instrument. I'm being his vessel. When I lay my hands upon the sick person, that life of God transfers and goes through me into them. And if they're a Christian, it activates on the inside of them. The power of God's in me. It's in my hands. It's in my body. It's working in me now, continually affecting a healing and a cure. No sickness, nor disease, no virus, no wrong thing, no cancerous body. Nothing can live in my body, glory to God, because the life of God is in there. And there's more to that than just, there's more to it than just my body, but I'm telling you, the life of God is in me. It's abiding in my spirit, and that's going to stay there for all eternity, glory to God, the life of God. But while I'm in this body, my body's going to obey me. My body's going to do what I tell it to do by the life of God. It has to obey. My mind is sharp. I'm not losing my mind. Amen. Hallelujah. You get old, you don't have to lose your mind. But you need to talk to it. Amen. Now you may be like me. You walk with God and some of your hair gets so excited it just raptures. I told that to some Kenya prayer team coming. I told that to a group of ministers one time in Kenya, and they're taking notes on it. I said, no, I'm joking. I told them, I said, when I get to heaven, my hair will be there. Like Enoch, it walked with God and was not. How many of you would believe that? Come on, some of you guys, come on. I see some of you. Some of you believing with me. Oh yeah, when you see me in heaven, I'm going to have a full head of hair. Glory to God. And if that's the only thing you remember about this sermon, Lord help us. Could y'all stand, please? Hallelujah. Let's thank God for God being in us. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Christ in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, then you don't have God in you right now, but it's for you. He wants to come dwell on the inside of you. Receive what Jesus has done. God laid all of your sin, all that separates you from God, He laid it on Jesus. Jesus fully paid the price. If it was a cup to drink, Jesus didn't leave one drop in that cup. He drank it all for you. And you can come tonight and receive of that life and start drinking of the life of God that He'll place on the inside of you. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, just as soon as we dismiss, come on down here and talk. Gentlemen, talk to the gentleman on my left and your right. Ladies, talk to the ladies on my right and your left. They'll pray with you according to the Word of God for anything that you might have need of tonight. But don't leave here tonight without knowing Jesus, without knowing that you know that you know that you know that you have that life of God on the inside of you. Amen? Praise God. Brother Greg, don't forget Friday at noon, the memorial service for our dear brother Brian, who's gone home to be with the Lord unexpectedly, but we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we know He's taking well care, but pray for Carla and the kids as we walk through this time with them as their spiritual family. Amen. But you can be here at noon on Friday for that. And then, of course, Sunday morning, don't forget School of the Bible at 9 o'clock, church service at 10 and 6 o'clock on Sunday. All right. God bless you. You can be dismissed. Have a great rest of the week.